Oh, call our meeting back to order. And we are going to speak with, do we have anything in purchasing? Does anyone know?
Linda is, yeah, Linda had something real quick, she okay. said. There's Linda.
Good morning.
Visit with you gentlemen on.
All right.
We signed the award approval letter October the 4th for our 2010 COPS grant. I report on the 2009 COPS grant, and when I was in there doing my quarterly report, it showed that we had a report due on the 2010 COPS grant as well. And the reason that is because the award date started December 16th of 2009. It's just the way the grant runs, and then it will continue through December 15th of 2012. I completed that quarterly report when I completed my 2009 quarterly report. I just stated that the grant was non-operational and was just received September 27th, 2010. Sean Barnwell and I have discussed the grants, and we would like to finish the remaining money as much as possible, with the exception of the additional year in cellular service that will aid the air cards. But we have $41,131 left of the 2009 COPS grant that we are looking into finish up spending prior to starting our 2010 COPS grant. So I just wanted to touch base with you on that and let you know where it is. You haven't really given me permission to report on it, so I wanted to let you know that I do have it, and just we'll hang on to it until further notice if we decide to move further, kind of like our meeting that we had with grants or contracts, and then it led into grants. So if that's okay, that, and I guess I'm really just looking for direction on that.
We designated on the COPS, I guess what I would maybe direct is Linda talked with Nikki, since Nikki's kind of the point person right now. She's put together the processes and then figure out, is that what we want to do then, is have a conversation with Nikki and Linda to figure out the reporting part of the contract, and then you're asking for direction, right?
Right, I'm asking for direction.
I don't have anything
point,
to do with Nikki. That part of it needs to, Maggie is
understand, but Nikki's also the coordinator, so Nikki or, I keep on saying Nikki. Someone in our office has to be coordinating every communication, because otherwise they won't know the status of the reports.
Right, but she hasn't started that yet. So you're asking her to do something. We haven't even got. She just presented the.
No, actually, two weeks ago we gave her. We gave the direction, the flow chart. I mean, and all that.
Okay, then Nikki needs to contact Maggie and get it taken care of. Is that what you're
saying?
I'm saying,
Linda, would you get with Nikki? And then Nikki will know to contact Maggie and get the reports done.
Okay.
The report, it should be completed up to date. I got with Maggie, and she's the one who specified I should do the non-operational. Maybe make a report and give it to Nikki. I made
just
her a copy of the award.
I would say just at least communicate with Nikki.
Okay.
Because she's going to be, right now, Nikki, the office itself, so.
Is that, I guess, do I keep that down there, and just when I'm going to do my other report and the other report is due, do I follow up on that, or should I just hand that over to Nikki, I guess?
Get with Nikki.
Okay.
I think we're going to be moving everything to Nikki, to the commission office. That's what we said. That's why we're getting a structural engineer to look at all the file cabinets, and we're moving everything up to the commission office is what we've been saying.
A copy of it. A copy of everything.
But not, she's not going to retain a copy down there in purchasing. We're going to keep...
Go ahead. I just have to, if I'm the one reporting on it, I have to keep a copy just like Maggie
sure.
does, because when they come to audit, they'll come straight to our office. From that point, they'll go to different places if they need be. But
So what direction are you specifically asking for then?
Am I to report on this 2010 grant, or?
Did you report on the 2009?
Yes, sir.
Then I would say nothing's changed from the reporting aspect. That's
okay.
My opinion.
Makes sense to me.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Next, I have something from Sean Barnwell. It's another grant. We do not have it on the agenda, so I'm looking for direction. We are hoping to get approval for submitting the application. Sean Barnwell has corresponded through email with Jimmy Russell. This is a grant that's through Missouri Police Chiefs Association. It will fund computers, mounting equipment, installation, and 2 years of cellular service.
Excuse me, if I could, Linda.
Okay.
If you're asking us to approve submitting for a grant, I think that would need to be identified on our agenda.
Posted, yes, sir. I'm just looking for direction of when we can post that on there.
Get with Nikki on when to post it.
Okay.
And then if you can, at least get me a copy. I want at least a copy of what this grant's about, because I'll need to know what the obligations are.
I want to know what the maintenance charge is on this one, too.
Well, if you would give us the details before we post it.
But this is police. We are the primary, if you want to use those terms. And this is police, I understood you to say, this is strictly city, right?
It will be continued on with our project that we have already started under the COPS Technology Grant.
Excuse me, Linda.
Yeah.
Put this on the agenda so we can be right about it.
Okay. Post it, but give me a copy before we post it.
Okay,
or perfect. Post it and give me a copy before we meet.
Will you gentlemen be in this week, or is this something we'll have to wait until Monday? It's got to be delivered to them by the 29th.
She knows where we are, so get with Nikki.
Okay, perfect. Let's see. Just wanted to touch base. I'm working on a GIS project bid for the sewer department, and they have asked me to go with them on Thursday, a couple members of the sewer department and the sewer board, to visit Harrison. To view the GIS project that's already installed there, see how it's working, if there's any changes before we go out to bid. Just wanted to get direction if that's okay that I travel with them Thursday to Harrison. Plan on leaving about 10:30 and should be back, I'm assuming, in the afternoon.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand why you would need to go either.
Okay. They just thought that with me putting it out to bid and having to do the specifications, it would help to see it and already put together. If you don't think it will, then
make a phone call if you need to talk to someone. But
yeah, aren't you going to be sent specs?
I should be.
Okay. Premature visit is what I think that sounds like to me, because if you've got the specs and we haven't got it bid, so I would wait.
Okay. All right, I'll let them know I will not be attending.
Did the sewer board recommend it or something?
Yes, William Cummings asked. He gave me a call and asked if I could go, but I'm sure that they can just get me the information.
Okay. All right, anything else?
Just FYI, I sent you all an email on the Empire District Empire rebate for the airport. Just wanted to make sure you guys received that.
That's good news.
That is good news. Okay. All right. And I think that's all I have. I'm going to stay for just a brief moment of Frank's meeting.
Okay. Sure. Thanks, Linda.
Set the road materials. Thank you.
Mr. Preston.
Good morning.
Does that make you feel old when they call you Mr.? It does me.
Yes.
Yeah. Frank, good to see you.
How much time do we have?
All day. Well, 3 o'clock.
35 minutes.
Okay.
We don't give him a time he's going to take more anyway. If I give him 35, he's going to ask for 40.
You can work through lunch. That's all right.
You buying pizza? Is that a pizza day?
I'll make it 30 minutes.
Now, there you go. At 35, you're buying, so go ahead.
I wanted to give you an up-to-date on the quarry operations out at Hilldale. It's been discussed for the last few weeks and some documentation research. And last time we talked, I had mentioned that I had met with some of the management from Leo Jernigan Construction, and that they had promised to bring forward some documentation they had hoped and thought they had in their files. It took a little over 2 weeks versus the 3 to 5 days that I anticipated the paperwork to come back with. I know we're not posted, and last week at this time when we had our regular meeting, I'd mentioned that Ms. Gifford and I myself would probably sit down and meet to discuss what our options were. I think we're still in the same spot to discuss what our options are. I will make a copy of this. This was literally handed to me about a half an hour, 45 minutes ago. I will show you a copy of the information that they forwarded to us, and maybe next Monday we can put it on the agenda to discuss the details of how we want to move forward, if we want to change anything in our bid process for the Jernigan Quarry. So there is some new documentation that's been forwarded to me in regards to this issue.
But you haven't had time to analyze it.
I've just got it.
Okay, that's for you. Bye. Yes, if we move on to you do, because we won't have any idea what we're talking about.
Right. But it's a new development, and we've been talking about it regularly, so I wanted to bring that to your attention.
Would you like opportunity to speak to this issue? Okay. All right. Just one, make it available if you need it. All right.
Okay. I did want to, we talked about dirt agreements last week, and we had a tentative agreement, and then that changed from the three loads. And under would be administratively handled through myself, and three loads and above would go through the commission. And then there was some type of language that may be, I think Danny and I have discussed it since then, and it may be discussed. Something has changed to that or not?
Not what I'm aware of.
I didn't know about it.
No, but I did want to bring it up. I think I was said that I wanted to discuss the position that put you in areas where we had, I can't even remember what all of our discussion was because it was rather lengthy. If he receives a form, is that where we left that?
Well, we talked about it. Our hope and intent was that we wouldn't show favoritism to whether it be a citizen or a county employee.
Right, right.
If someone got 50 loads for their property and had a large canyon or crevice that they needed filled, we wanted to make sure that we wouldn't make the county appear to be unfair in any of its practices.
Yeah, and it was, I think what we decided on, and I think the general conversation from the commission was, is the need and obligation to have the form letter that stated the person, the quantity, the location, mm-hmm. all those things. So maybe that's something that, that may be a trial and error business. You may just go ahead and proceed as we directed last week, because I wanted to bring it up and talk about it this week, but just go ahead.
We're not going to, if it gets to 50, I mean, if it gets to four loads, you got to come from the commission
right.
anyway. So
right.
there's, I mean, basically we're trying to eliminate these onesies, twosies, and three people waiting. And, you know, obviously your best judgment is what we have to believe that you're going to give. And if there's an issue, we'll have to bring it up to you. But
here's the deal. You bring up a good situation. We've got a guy down here that we're taking loads of material to that the commission has approved.
Okay.
Somebody comes by and says, I need two or three loads over here. Okay, Frank doesn't have to come to the commission, and it's closer, so they run two or three loads over there, and so-and-so gets mad because he has a contract with the county for 50 loads. So that's where I was wanting to go with this. I could see I was in a situation like this before we had this where I denied taking some material from, actually I was working at Whitetail Crossing, and a guy wanted to pro tem, and I said, that's crazy, we're not going to do that for you. And there was a lot of confusion
right.
about it. So,
or if we're hauling to one person similar to what you're saying or almost identical to what you're saying, and then we move out of that location, and then the neighbor says, you know, I really could use three loads of that material, we may not be back in that area for 3 months or 6 months, so it wouldn't logistically make sense for me to
right.
bring this
right.
gentleman there was three loads because he's a day late from us even being mobilized in that area. So it could upset him that he didn't get his load because we'd have to...
This may be a trial and error situation.
And that's what it's going to have to be, I think. I mean, I think we're just going to have to see how it works. I mean, we're just trying to make it faster for Frank that we have processes. And
we're trying to save the county dollars is what we're trying
yeah.
to do.
Yeah. So, I mean... It's not going to be perfect.
I don't understand where the question is, because that's what we're here to do, is to do the job the most efficient way. Mm-hmm. And we don't enter into contract with these folks to bring them so many loads. We enter into an agreement with them that they will take whatever we bring. And you're the one that's in charge to know what is efficient. So I don't see that we got, unless you're going to have a problem determining where it's efficient, I can't imagine you would.
I think the portion I mentioned was the possibility of someone being upset because we didn't meet. We're doing this out of both parties' convenience. Our hope and intent is to haul it one time to dispose of it, not to take it to either one of our yards to sort long term and then look for a disposal site. But I can see where timing being wrong, we move out of a place. Someone says, "Hey, I would like to have two loads of that stuff." I'm sorry, sir. I'll keep you in mind next time we're in that area. We'll try and bring you a couple loads of fill. But it wouldn't make sense to mobilize that equipment again to that location that we were at to make that happen.
Yeah, I don't want us to get into the obligation of how many loads you're going to get. This is strictly a whatever we've got, we've got, and if we run out, we run out. We're not saying we'll come back some other day. It doesn't work that way. Right. Because then all of a sudden we're in the dirt hauling business, and that's not what we're...
Exactly.
I didn't see that was the reason for the dirt agreement to start with. It was looking for a cost-effective way to dispose of dirt or material without obligation that... You know, it's 1.5 loads, not two.
Let's move on and just call to use it as trial and error.
Okay.
Okay. We will be switching back to 8-hour days when the time change occurs, the second week of November, I believe. Discussed that last time. You said, let me use my judgment, and the judgment is that we'll go back to 8-hour days as soon as time changes.
Do you need... protection, or that could be all right.
We'll hear about it.
Just joking.
We'll hear about it. I had a lengthy conversation with John Heiser from Army Corps earlier this morning. Took a page full of notes, and what it appears that I think the smart thing for us to do. Three different things were discussed this morning. One were the three access roads to the lakes that we had taken a field trip to. Randy did send them the documentation this morning at 7 o'clock, and I got a response about 7:30 from them that they had received those. We, on our side, show that we sent them in May of sometime this year, and they don't see that on their side. So there was some discrepancy there. Myself has been trying to make contact with the Army Corps for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they've been busy and changed their priorities to other things. They did make contact with me last week. Mr. Heiser's, so the three things we want to discuss are Slough Hollow, KDOC, and the three roads of improvement. What I didn't know before today's conversation was that there's more interaction between Arkansas Fish and Game and the Army Corps Little Rock Branch than I had assumed before. They're really intertwined. And at least from Mr. Heiser's perspective, one of the things I mentioned this morning, and also I've been trying to contact Friday and also today, Mr. Ben Bremer, who is sort of the project manager for the KDOC IRFO money to be expended. They will, according to Mr. Heiser, start paving and making improvements, at least construction improvements, not necessarily paving, on the KDOC area within the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Mr. Heiser believes that it's totally unrealistic for us to even consider raising KDOC in time to try to accommodate the paving of that area. So I asked him why, and he gave me a lot of different reasons. One of the reasons he stated is because you haven't signed a project agreement with the Slough Hollow project with the Arkansas...
Oh boy.
Fish and Game. So we had a lengthy discussion this morning. I have a page full of notes here, and those are the types of things that we discussed. Yeah. What I told them was what it sounds like I need to do is get with Nikki and get a meeting. And what I told Mr. Heiser, and he agreed, was let's get all three parties back involved around the table, and that is Arkansas Fish and Game, Taney County Commission, and the Army Corps of Engineer Little Rock office. I have a list of people that need to be invited, and the agenda will be in the order of the priority that you choose. I imagine KDOC will be on top, the three roads, maybe Slough Hollow second, and then the three roads could be third.
It's five roads, actually, that Randy should have sent them, and I think did.
Okay. I asked Randy about the five, and he said he could remember three. The three are Savage, Old Heart, and there is one other, but I mentioned the five, and three is what we came up with.
Barker? Barker Hole?
It's not the one we visited with the...
But we did visit with him about it, and it needs to be on that agenda.
But, Barker?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm on a different subject. Are we talking about the 5 foot?
It'll go with Slough Hollow. Barker Hole and Slough Hollow go together.
I'll ask again if I can find anything on the lake access roads other than the three that we mentioned to be improved upon.
Yeah. And what we're going to have to do, Frank, is, and it's already very, very simple, that anytime we send information to the Corps, we're going to have to send a follow-up letter requesting confirmation of receiving.
Okay.
Because all the roads that Randy and I did two or three years ago, they say they never got. We know they got. They said they lost them in a box, and now they deny that they ever got them.
Right.
So that's the same way with this. We had verbal agreement with Mr. Strophus, myself, mm-hmm. all those members on five locations. Randy went out immediately and took shots of elevation, and those shots of elevation came up in the conversation that we had with those gentlemen, everyone that you talked about, Arkansas Fish and Game, and every one of them sitting there, those shots of elevation was brought into that conversation. Why did you have us shoot 5 foot over the marks if you did not intend to let us have it at that point?
Okay. That, I think that's separate. That is an issue, and there may be five of those locations. The three locations I'm talking about are the lake access roads that mm-hmm. we were to improve.
Right.
For public use.
Right, but that's
only three of those that I'm aware of.
That's what we used as an example, though.
Right.
When Randy went out to shoot those elevations after Jim Strophus and I had a discussion with him, he used that elevation that they used for 5 foot for us to put the lake access points in. That's where I think you're missing out.
Okay. Also discussed this in this morning's conversation was the ability to use the KDOC Army Corps property for fill material instead of hauling it in. And Mr. Heiser once again stated he thought that that would be a very environmentally sensitive issue, that even though it was logistically made sense, he thought that it would be too environmentally sensitive to move forward to do any blasting or removing of the fill material there, that it would probably have to be hauled in. He said just the environmental process itself would take longer than we would want for this particular project to happen. So lots of things were discussed. A partnership agreement among all three parties was discussed. Included in that partnership agreement were Slough Hollow, KDOC, and the three roads that we're talking about improving, and also the five roads that would be negatively impacted by the minimal flow plan that Arkansas Fish and Game has. So I don't know if you had, I know you last week, Mr. Strand, you had tried to get a hold of...
Mark Case is setting these meetings up as we speak.
I'm asked to talk to, I've told all of them that I will, including Mike Armstrong, I'll get with Nikki to adjust your calendars to get she's to call all those people and set up a meeting. That's mm-hmm. ASAP is what I've told them.
Right. We talked to Mark Case last Friday, was it last Friday, and he said he would set up the meetings because he didn't know the availability of all those
right,
parties.
Right. Next thing I have is out of 75 miles of chip seal this summer, we had one load of oil that went bad on us. At least that's what we're assuming. You've heard this story before. What I'm bringing up today is that several claims were filed against the county's insurance company in regards to paint jobs and getting vehicles cleaned. And all claims have been denied by our insurance company out of Texas, claiming that the county was not negligent on anything that it did to create this situation that happened. I was informed of that last week. I do believe that the insurance company will be sending out letters to that effect. We do have one gentleman that owns the transmission shop at the end of Gunnison that had Yoakum, Olhart, and Savage. Thank you, ma'am, very much. The three roads were Yoakum, Olhart, and Savage that were lake access roads that we had intentions of improving. I went out there the morning that I found that we had a problem that needed to be addressed on Gunnison, and I did personally drive to the transmission shop to take a look at the affected vehicle and or vehicles, and this was a Ford F-150, almost what I would call a show truck. It was a Harley-Davidson edition. It did have extensive amount of oil all over. It was the worst vehicle that I had seen in a long time in regards to road oil and thickness of amount of material on it. And so our insurance, I told the gentleman, give me till the end of the day. I'll talk to the oil company. And I said, this is what we've done in the past. Sometimes they're approved, sometimes they're denied. But it's too early in the process for me to know how to advise you. And he said he wasn't waiting until I got to him at the end of the day. He was taking his vehicle to Hollister Detail Shop immediately, which is probably what I would have done had I seen my vehicle like that. Leave it at that. Our insurance company denies. You want me to write a letter of denial also?
No, I don't. I want you to pay it. I went to that roadside, as you know. I went down there on a Sunday. It was for the total detail.
Yes.
That one vehicle.
32.5 hours of labor.
Really?
That doesn't seem like that's reasonable.
I've spoke with the detail shop in Hollister, and it for several days the conversations were not comfortable, and I was accusing him of fraudulent practices, and he would be seeing me very soon if I continued on with the questioning that I was having.
Yeah, that doesn't seem about.
And I told him that it's not uncommon for the same exact scenario for that price to be in the $200 to $500 range is more what I was used to. That's why I was questioning him about the total figure, and it was also unique that the total figure, after almost a week of working on the vehicle, was the exact number that the estimate that was given to the customer at the beginning of the project, prior to even having set hand on the vehicle, and he stated that he'd worked on the vehicle 6 or 8 hours beyond the 32.5 that he was billed on. That's how there was a lot of conversation.
Yeah, in previous years we have taken care of this before it got to this point of insurance companies and involvement on roads where there was oil splattered on vehicles, and they voluntarily run by one of the shops and had it cleaned off, and satisfaction was received by the customer.
In most cases, Mr. Strahan, I believe that's to be true. In certain instances, this being a black and gray vehicle, the chemicals that we use work most of the time on most finishes. The chemicals do have a tendency to take the sheen or shine off of some vehicles. This particular vehicle, because of the nature of what it was, I would not probably have even attempted to send it to our normal procedures and run the chemicals on it and then take a high-pressure washer to it, because I think we'd be painting it at that point in time.
I would report it was a mess.
Yeah.
And will this claim be sent on to the oil company?
They have agreed to work in partnership with us. They are not aware as to what degree monetarily wise we're talking about. I would anticipate it wouldn't surprise me if they met us halfway in the middle of the road, yeah, as this being the only claim that there is at this point in time.
Let me tell you how that was, Jim and Chuck. I went down there on a Sunday because I was called out and knew we had a problem. And you could actually go to the middle of the road and put your hand down like this and pick up the base.
Right.
And the oil would come up and you could raise it up 6 before it started breaking loose. That's how gooey it was. It was like sticking your hand in a bunch of molasses and pulling it up with some grit on the top of it. So we had a major oil breakdown. And that's the reason I was so quick to say, if the oil company and I understood that they were going to do something, that we pay this.
So you want to pay, do you want to give $500 and a whole harmless agreement? Do you want to do the full $1,000 for the repair? What precedent are we setting?
Last year, I don't know what the total number is, but we had payouts last year that were probably 3 or 4 times. We had multiple numbers of cars on.
But we didn't have only one vehicle that much, did we?
I think we had a Jeep that we may have paid $2,200 or $2,300 to replace all the wheel wells and fender wells and plastics on the vehicle, because it was taken to our yard and we did take the sheen off of the plastic portions.
I want to do what's right. I just don't want to be.
No, I'm going to make sure that the oil company does their part. I don't. If we can get them involved and
right,
make sure they do their part, we'll.
Personally, I agree that it's. I think the right thing to do is to settle this and work with the oil company to get reimbursed 50%. And I'm surprised, due to the nature of what was on the road, that we didn't have more.
Mm-hmm, me too.
More claims than we did.
So you want to go talk to the insurance company first and then come back and report back to us then?
I've talked to the insurance company.
The oil company.
Talked to the oil company. I've already talked to them in regards to this issue, and they said once you know what the final details are, get back to us.
Why don't you do that before I'm willing to commit an emotion, how much money we're willing to spend out of pocket.
That'd okay. Be fine.
I'd like to take care of the individual. I want to exhaust our other options first.
I'm personally going to ask for the full amount from the oil company, because I still suspect that it's, I cannot pinpoint to anything that it was none other than something to do with the material, but I can't pinpoint anything that states that either, so.
It was oil failure of some kind. That stuff was just not, it wasn't right.
The rest are just heads up, informational type things. I was wondering if you received a letter from a resident on Park.
I did. I have it right here.
What the? Is Park a county road?
Park is not a county road. It's one that I brought forward last week. It was previously petitioned in 2004. It's a short road. We discussed whether or not they should go back through the petition process. It stopped in 2004 because it was contingent upon a turnaround. At that point, the turnaround was not something that they were willing to grant, because they didn't feel it necessary. I don't know why they wouldn't grant it, but they wouldn't, and that was the contingency. They brought it up again. The road is in deplorable condition. It's asphalt surface that has 6 and 8 inch ruts on it. When I got back to them several weeks ago, I let them know that it would probably be until sometime after the budgetary process in January before we would reconsider.
Frank, the way that I guess you've talked back to him since we got the letter.
I have not. I wanted to talk to you. The letter makes it appear like it's our road.
That's exactly where I was going. It almost, the letter almost indicates that the people themselves think that it's the county's road and the county's problem,
yeah,
because it's rutted up.
All
it's
of
not.
All of my conversations have been with Mrs. K. Green. I've not spoke once with Mr. Paul Green, and she's well aware that it's not a county road at this point in time. But if you were to read the letter, and unbeknownst to any of the background information, you would assume that these people obviously think it's a county road.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. That, what was our action?
That we would wait until after the budget process to consider taking any more roads into the county maintenance system.
How long a stretch are they asking for?
It's probably 400 some feet.
And we were needing a cul-de-sac?
We needed a turnaround. It's gone through the petition process to late 2004, and it was denied due to the fact that the residents would not provide a turnaround.
Wasn't it approved?
It was approved contingent upon the turnaround. And at this point in time, they called me out there. They want to know how come it was never fulfilled. I pulled up all the files that I could, and we had a good file on it. They went through all the processes and procedures, other than they did not allow the turnaround to happen. And so it was dropped at that point in time until they brought it up again a month or so ago. Went out there, had a meeting, told them this is... you met all of the contingencies other than the turnaround, and if I were to bring this forward to the commission again without the ability to have a turnaround, it's my recommendation that we don't take it in because I don't want a truck driving backwards for 400 feet.
No, I agree with you. I mean, it's the ball's in their court, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yes, and now I do have a letter without a legal description of where the turnaround is, but I have a letter from the property owner where the Hammerhead turnaround would be at. So they have come forward and stepped to the plate and said that they would allow us to create a turnaround at this location.
Do you have a survey or any kind of a marking on a plat or anything? I tell you the reason I ask this is because of what we run into on Xenia Lane up there with the old boy at the end where he put out the cones and said, "You're on my property," when we had a survey on it and we had a plat, and it clearly showed that we were not on his property, but we could run into that same thing here if we don't have a definite location.
I didn't want them to spend the $100 to $300 on a legal description prior to knowing that we would be in favor of moving forward with the idea of taking it in to county maintenance.
Well, that's your decision. If it's first of the year you want to look at, or maybe even before if you figure out what the budget's going to be, right?
Right.
And didn't we discuss last week in this deal that it would be scar, whatever the term is, up, and it wouldn't be an asphalt surface? Did they understand that?
That discussion's not... No, I've not had that discussion.
Well, from the letter, it indicates that they would like for us to fix the road before the weather gets too bad. Well, if we do what we usually do on those road situations, and we did it up here on Buckingham or whatever it is up here, and then we've done it on several
roads. Basically, yeah, what it says, Danny, is that if the conditions are getting worse, and I believe they wait till January, that it will be put off until spring.
Yeah. But see, they don't realize what they're talking about. They think it's going to be put back asphalt, I'm sure. If we wait till January, it's going to be put off to spring. That they can take and rip those things up and turn that stuff back in on the base rock and make a good road out of it till...
Another option would be to take 3 to 5 tons of material and fill all of the potholes and crevices. The ride quality would be horrible, but it would be much improved over what it currently is today. But it would be nowhere near be a new surface or a smooth surface. It would be more passable than it is now.
Okay, so who is the landowner who is going to have to give us the easement for the turnaround? Because if they're not willing to give us easement, the conversation's over.
Right. They are. They've just not...
These people are? The Greens are?
These are not the people with the easement, but that would have to grant us the easement for the turnaround. But I do have a letter from the people that would have to grant us an easement, but I advise them not to.
And they said they would give it to us.
But that I would need a legal description drawn up by a survey company to put in our files, but I didn't want them to spend money on that prior to.
And this petition was turned down in 2004, you said, right?
Correct.
No, it wasn't turned down.
No, I'm sorry. It was approved contingent upon us acquiring a turnaround.
Okay, well,
then it never expired. Is that correct?
We have a policy that we try to use that states if a petition is not acted on by one party or the other within a certain amount of time,
1 year, that,
then the
we have that policy documented somewhere.
Mm, yes.
But okay.
But in fairness, that policy was adopted after this agreement was made. I'm quite positive.
That's what I'm wondering. I mean, is the agreement still in place? Did they just give us what they said they're going to give us?
That policy was enacted several years after this was approved contingent upon the term.
But it is exactly these reasons why it was enacted. That's exactly the reason we did, because we had people coming in. It was 3 or 4 years later. That's the reason we did the 1 year.
Then let's post it and vote on it. If you want to bring it next session,
I've also discussed that I would bring you a video, which I haven't to this point. I guess my question was, did you get a letter?
Oh yeah, and I got two actually. Would you post it specifically this road for next Monday and during your session, and have the video, and we can decide what we're going to do and if we want to take action or not take action.
Okay.
4 minutes to free lunch.
Excuse me,
5 minutes to a free lunch from Frank.
I'd like to suggest that we have a work session to discuss the utilization of the Mount Branson barn if and when we ever get closure on the real estate deal. That we meet as a group to discuss the logistics, the manpower, the equipment, and how we could best serve portions of the county.
But I'm going to disappoint you. I'm not going to make any decision on it until we get the paperwork and get it signed.
I agree.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, we're on the fourth version, and okay. Two of them from them.
That's, okay. That makes sense. We do have the snow rodeo coming up. I'm not getting much response from the vendors. I'm sure it has to do with the economy. We have 300 letters sent out to vendors that we do business with on a regular basis, and we have 7 responses so far. So,
did you extend it to our insurance companies and all that?
No, we didn't. I'm not sure.
Healthy, safe driving also helps earn rates. So,
we may have. I'll check on that.
Okay.
Last thing I have is,
what's the date on that? Because I'd like to go to that.
I'll send it to you.
Okay, that's a good time for...
It is a Thursday, I think.
It is a Thursday, November...
I'm looking right 8th. Here because I was so excited. It's the 4th.
The 4th.
The 4th. Show's at 8 o'clock.
Last thing I have, we have a giant wood pile at the Hilda shop that was mostly generated from the ice storm that's in chunked size sections, that the employees are requesting that they have the ability to take it home and split it for their personal use, not for resale. And I've asked if they've done that in the past. If they've done that in the past year, they claim that they have. Is there a way we could give it to the public without having any liability concerns for people that don't have the ability to split wood or acquire it themselves? Or do we...
Don't we sometimes leave wood on the side of the easement?
We do, but during the ice storm there was...
So much. But we've done that in the past.
We haven't. That's our common practice, is if it's in a safe location, we'll leave it lay on the road, and it's not uncommon for it to be gone. In it.
I want to talk about this next Monday.
Okay.
Okay? I want to think about this, because I don't want to open up a deal where we've got employees. Or...
That's all I have, gentlemen.
You got a couple of minutes left. Just experience I would like to share. Had a couple of tires changed the other day in the shop that I was having them done at. They take and cut with a sharp knife, and he pulled the knife out of his pocket. He'd take and cut the sidewalls out, and you can dump them. And I remember us talking about this back some time ago. That type of an idea, and the thought was that it'd take expensive equipment and we couldn't do it. And I intend to try it myself. I've got an old tire or two. But he said, except for, frankly, he named Michelin tires that have steel
all the way around.
Said, except for them, he takes a sharp knife, he cut the sidewalls out of them, and then the trash, they take them to the transfer or the dump. Anybody know anything about that?
That's a very true statement. We have the ability to do that. It would be a safety concern of mine to have someone do the quantity that we do. There are machines out there that will do that for you that run $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 that just do that sidewall from the tread removal. You can get into multiple types of grinders where the end product can be used for different things and is worth, the more you process it or refine it, the more that product is worth. Our invoices to the tire recycling company have doubled.
That's why I brought the issue up, because you told us that the other day.
So the good thing is you could put that in the trash that's to be buried. The bad part is you're no longer recycling that. So maybe that's something we discuss next Monday, is the
tire
issue.
Let's do that. Let's talk about it, because I want to get...
Talk about it, let's ask Frank to call that company that's taking them and tell us where they go, what they do with them. Are they being used for other products, or are they ending up in a dump someplace else?
I don't know the answer, but I can guess at the answer. I think they're using them because that's all they do is recycle tires.
Give us a cost factor on the grinder, too, compared to what we're having to take our tires. Well, I knew that we had a large expense. How many years would it take to pay for the grinder?
Right now we're paying about $3,000 every 4 to 6 weeks to remove the tires that we have. If we had somebody on site to help us with our other recycling efforts, he could be doing this in his spare time and then segregating metal in other times to bring more money in there. So there's a couple different things we could do to make some improvements. And this would generate, by doing the tire cutting, it would generate a nice cash flow to do some of the other things.
I think we need to look at it.
Okay. Anything else? Recess until 1 o'clock.
Thank you for your
time. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate your patience on working with the Corps and that long conversation.
It wasn't patient.